Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everyone. Good to be in God's house again. So appreciated the chorale singing about Jesus. It's no other name. It's amazing how so many countries have thousands and millions of gods, and they all have names. Christians just have one God. And most churches don't even know what his name is. You know, someone said, you guys are Jesus only. I said, no, we're Jesus everything, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. Folks, there's only one God. Amen. And his name is Jesus. I remember some years ago, I got a speeding ticket. And, you know, I was the only car on the road. And so this county sheriff in Texas pulled over and, you know, got out of his car and said, you pull over, you pull over. And now, I don't know, this man was probably 6 feet, 220 pounds, you know. Hey man, I was driving a rental car that must have weighed 3,200 pounds, you know. But I stopped for him. Now, he did not have the power, but he had the authority, right? And you know what? When we have the name of Jesus, we do not have the power. He has the power. But we have the authority. I'm so glad for the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Enjoyed being in the house of the Lord again this morning. And, you know, if I would never take away from anyone's religious background or experience in this building tonight, but if you've never repented of your sins, you must repent of your sins. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of those sins. And you must receive the Holy Ghost with the Bible evidence of speaking with other tongues. All right, let's open our Bible, shall we, to the book of Matthew chapter 11 while we stand. One more moment. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth, allows violence, permits violence, and the violent take it by force. We're going to talk about a spiritual violence tonight. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Again, Jesus, we thank you. God, for your word again. God, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, it gives us guidance and instruction. And I'm thankful, God, for your word. God, I ask you to help me to minister your word tonight in a way that it can be easily understood. God, God, to penetrate the heart and mind of every individual in this house tonight. For your glory and honor, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated this evening. This world is filled with violence, saturated with violence. The problem with most Hollywood films and movies is the violence. Television programs, violence. You cannot pick up the newspaper without reading about some violent act. So people are quick to pull the trigger and quick to stab with the knife and quick to make a fist. And God does not approve of this violence. But there's a violence of which God does not, there's a violence of which God does approve. It's a spiritual violence. It's a holy violence. It's a godly violence. And when it says in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12 that the kingdom of heaven allows it and the violent take it by force. In fact, in Luke 16, it says a man presses his way into the kingdom of God. Now, the literal Greek for this verse of scripture about the violence, it denotes the violence of a crowd of people standing in front of a door and just crashing against the door to break the door down to get into a room. Or the violence of an army surrounding a city to come and capture a city. This violence denotes a strength, all right, and a vigor. It's an earnestness of desire and endeavor. It is an intense exertion to have the blessings of God. Because fervency and zeal are required of individuals that really want to make heaven their home. It's a holy violence. Self must be denied. Your frame, your temperament, your personality, and your mind must be altered. Because sometimes, folks, there must be hard services to be done before you're going to have the true blessings of God in your life. It's a force that's put upon our corrupt nature. We have a nature that does not want to come to this altar. We have a nature that has a sense of entitlement, especially in this day and age. Folks, the Bible says we must run, we must fight, we must wrestle. There's no room for laziness, amen, when you're coming into God's kingdom. This violence is a strong, energetic desire to have heaven and the blessings of God at any cost. Because the kingdom of heaven was never given to people that trifle, that are laid back, that are indifferent, lackadaisical about their relationship with God. But when there's an individual in this building that would come to this altar as an army taking a city and as a crowd of people breaking a door down to get into a room, you will receive what you need from God. A holy violence. Now, King Joash was dying. And he calls the prophet of God to him. And he tells the prophet of God to take this bow and arrow and shoot an arrow out the window. You know, and I can see the prophet of God saying, you know, King Joash has got the flu. He's got a fever. I think he might be out of it a little while. So I'll, all right. But so I'll just shoot this arrow. And then the king told him, then the prophet of God told King Joash to smite the ground with arrows. So the king just goes, well, you know, he smote the ground one time, two times, three times. And when the prophet of God saw this, he was wroth. He was angry. He said, this is the arrow of God's deliverance. You should have smitten the ground five or six times. You should have taken those arrows and said, smite the Syrians, smite the Syrians, smite the Syrians, smite the Syrians, smite the Syrians. And instead of getting the victory five or six times, you are only going to have the victory three times. Do you know why? Because of his attitude to what God told him to do. This is so representative of how it is on our corrupt nature and on our fleshly self. It shows the tendency of our nature. How many times have you seen a car going down the street with the coat hanger holding on the muffler? When you can buy a bracket for $2.50. Well, I don't know, but this is good enough to get by. I remember walking into my daughter's room one time, and she was just a little girl, and I could not even see the floor in her room because of toys and clothes. I said, now listen, Miss Becky, I want you to clean this room, and I want to be able to see the carpet. 10 minutes later, she comes out and says, my room is clean, Dad. I said, come on, really? So I went in, and I could see the carpet. But I opened up the closet door. Here it comes. I stuffed, everything was stuffed under the bed. It's amazing how we do things good enough to get by. There are words of the newspaper that jump out to us. Bargain, sale, markdown. But do you understand God is no respecter of persons? None. God's not going to have any sales, bargains, or, you know, price reduction for you. I remember when I was in Apostolic Bible Institute in St. Paul, Minnesota. You know, all you could wear was white shirts. You know, I'm not saying a colored shirts is a heaven or hell issue. But when I was in Bible school, all we could wear was white shirts. So we guys, all we did was iron the front of our white shirt. We never ironed the sides or the sleeves. We just did it good enough to get by and left our suit coat on all the time. But that's the tendency of our human nature. But you know what? It creeps into people's relationship with God. Because some people just pray enough to get by. You know, come to church just enough to get by. But there needs to be an attitude that touches your heart, your spirit, and your very desire that I got to have the true blessings of God. Not something that is worked up, but something that is prayed down. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 in our Bibles. Some examples of some holy violence. All right. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. It says, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich." When it says chief among the publicans, it's saying he really, you know, was one of the more, upstanding members of the community. You know, everyone knew who he was. And the Bible says, and he was rich. The Bible says, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Now, because he was chief of the publicans, he never sat in one tax booth to pick up the tax money, all right? But because of his position, he would travel around to different cities and pick up the tax money. And when he did this, he began to hear about a man by the name of Jesus. Jesus raised the dead. Jesus heals the leper. Jesus opens up blinded eyes. Jesus opens up deaf ears, and something began to capture the heart of Zacchaeus, and he said, "I want to see this Jesus." So he's picking up some tax money, and they said, "Hey, Zacchaeus, guess what? Jesus is coming to Jericho tomorrow." So the Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was. I can see Zacchaeus getting up, putting on his fine, you know, silk robe, putting on his finest turban, putting on his, you know, camel leather sandals, you know, putting the rings on his fingers, and he goes out to see Jesus, who he is. So he comes out there early, and do you know what? There's already a crowd of people there, you know? And the Bible says he was little of stature, short, kind of like me, you know? So he was trying to look over this one, and he couldn't see him, and he was trying to look over this one, and he couldn't see him. So what did he say? "Well, I guess I can't see Jesus today. I'm just going to go back home, go to bed, and get caught up on some rest." No, the Bible says he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and then the Bible says he ran. See these action words? I wish more people would run to altars. Says, "Well, let me see. Do I want to go to the altar tonight or not?" He ran because he saw a sycamore tree. And know what he began to do? He began to climb up the sycamore tree. And he's hanging onto the branches. And I can see this little kid saying, "Dad, look at it." "Yeah. Hey, look, look. Yeah. Zacchaeus, you're not a little kid. Come down from the tree." He didn't even listen to him. He's just hanging on, and here's Jesus walking down the road. And I really think Jesus saw Zacchaeus in the tree, and he smiled. Yep. Somebody really wants to see me today. He walks by the entire multitude, and he stops right under the tree. "How you doing, Zach?" "Doing fine, Lord." "Boy, you really wanted to see me." "Oh, Lord, I heard so much about you. Well, why don't you come down? Because I'm going to go to your house today." And Zacchaeus made haste, and Jesus went to the house of Zacchaeus, and the people were shocked that Jesus would want to go to the house, amen, of a publican. But I want you to know, folks, don't ever get shocked. I don't care who the sinner is, who the backslider is, that comes to this altar, because I want to see Jesus. But do you know what? Jesus allowed this. He didn't say, "Come on, Zacchaeus, you're a grown man. Get down from that tree." No, he approved of somebody climbing a tree. Hallelujah. Now let's look at Mark chapter 10 in our Bibles. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10.
right? And verse 46. Mark 10:46. And as they came out of Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, as he came to Jericho and went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, because you know what? He's blind, so his ears, his sense of hearing is more keen, and he'd hear about Jesus, you know, raising the dead, Jesus healing the leper, you know, Jesus doing these miracles. When he heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him. In fact, the literal Greek says they severely censured him and reproved him. All right. Telling him to keep still. All right. That he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, the son of David, have mercy on me. So here's Bartimaeus saying, Jesus, help me, Lord, help, Lord, help me, Lord. They said, all right, Bartimaeus, don't pray so loud. Don't pray so fervently. Don't pray so earnestly. So what did Bartimaeus do? Did he sit there and fold his hands? Dear Jesus, I am a blind man by this road, and I can't see, but perhaps if you have time, you will stop by and heal me. No. When they told him to be quiet, he prayed out all the more. Jesus, son of David, I'm blind. You may never come by here again. Have mercy on me. And the Bible says Jesus stood still. Man, can you believe the God of heaven will stand still for you? Jesus got that same smile on his face. Yep. Somebody wants me. All right. And Jesus called unto him, and Jesus opened up his eyes. Now, there's something about this flesh. It just doesn't want to seek God. It just doesn't. It's amazing how sleepy and tired people get during the church service, but how wide awake they are at Burger King after church eating their cheeseburger. And you're saying, why was I so sleepy an hour ago? Because the devil would rather have you eat a cheeseburger than come to this altar. You know, isn't it? I mean, have you ever wondered about that? Why is that? Because really, folks, the devil wants to hinder you. Amen. This flesh wants to hinder you. Amen. From really getting what you need from God. That's why Jacob, when he wrestled with the angel, he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. And don't, it's the devil's. The devil loves to tame the church down. He really does. And do you know what? And if he ever tames the church down to the fact that we get lukewarm, the Lord said, I'd rather you were hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Because as an evangelist, as a pastor's kid, as a former assistant, as a pastor, I would see people that were lukewarm, and they would come and sit in the pew, folks, and they knew all the songs, they knew how to clap their hands, they knew how to come to the altar for 4 minutes and 13 seconds and then leave, but they never received the divine touch of God. I would much rather have someone who's cold and away from God, amen, and they need God, and they know that they need God, and there's a desire in them that's not in people that are lukewarm, or else God said, I'd rather you were cold or hot. Man, I want people that are hot for God, too hot for the devil to handle. Whoa, the devil says, I can't touch it, because he loves God with his heart, mind, soul, and strength. Yep. I mean, can you see a man who fell overboard? You know, I'm working on the vessel, the sea vessel, you know, and he's now been in the ocean. I mean, he's been fighting sharks, punching them in the nose. Folks, I mean, he's been treading water. And he's been for 1 day, 2 days, and he's so tired, 3 days. And here comes a ship by. So what does he do? Does he tread water? He says, dear sirs in yonder ship, I have now been in the deep for 3 days, and maybe you can send me a life preserver. No, folks, he would say, help, help. Hey, I'm drowning. Come on and save me. I want you to know, folks, when people pray like that, God stands still. Amen. God approves of that. Hallelujah. Man, the other day I saw a license plate that said, was it the 68 Mets or the 69 Mets? It's a baseball team from out in New York. And they called them the Miracle Mets because they won the World Series. And no one expected them to do this. And do you know what happened after the seventh game of the World Series? People jumped out of the stands. They were going into left center field, pulling up big tufts of grass from left center field. They were pulling signs off the outfield wall. They were cutting up the bases. They cut up home plate. And they had a parade in New York City. And these people were going down the street, you know, with little remnants that they had, you know, from Ebbets Field. And they would say, "Wow, look what I got. I got a piece of grass from left center field. Wow, look what I got. I got a piece of rubber from the home plate. Wow, look what I got." And they think we're crazy when we go, "Yes, look what I've got. I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I've got the hope of heaven in my soul. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb." Hallelujah. But there's always critics in the crowd when someone wants to touch God. They criticize Zacchaeus. They criticize Bartimaeus. You know, and I've seen saints criticize other saints. People criticizing other people that really want to touch God. It's kind of like the man that had a mustache and he ate a Limburger cheese sandwich for lunch. When he got to eating, he had a little hunk of Limburger cheese stuck on his mustache. So he's driving back to work in his car. He said, "Man, my car really stinks." And he comes back into the office and said, "Man, this office stinks." He stops at the supermarket on the way home and says, "Man, this supermarket stinks." He gets home and kisses his wife. But the problem wasn't with the office or the supermarket or the car. The prophet was with him. Because he had a little hunk of Limburger cheese stuck on his mustache. There are some people like that. Folks, I mean, there's always critics in the crowd. The critic comes to church with his one critical eye open. Yep, we'll see. I know. That Brother Schumacher's going to have some guy get up there and exhort for a little while and read a scripture and sing one chorus, and then he leaves, and Brother Schumacher comes up there, and, you know, then they sing another chorus, and you never know how long they're going to sing, and then Sister So-and-so is going to come over here and dance her little jig, and, you know, and this other Sister So-and-so is going to dance over here, and Brother So-and-so is going to come up here and rock back and forth. Yeah, I've seen this all before, you know, and then we'll listen to that message, and boy, he sure made some few grammatical, see, mistake, you know. I mean, he uses bad English. Yeah, and then we'll see, yeah. Folks, and then when the service is over, their one critical eye is all red and swollen and pussy and runny. What's wrong with your eye? Well, I've been criticizing all night. Folks, I'm telling you, listen, touching Jesus is all that really matters in this service. Amen. And if someone's trying to touch God, don't criticize him. Hallelujah. That's right. Let's turn to Mark chapter 2 in our Bibles. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Amen. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them." Folks, there were so many people packed into this house. No one else could get in there. "And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, and which were when four men carried this man. And when they could not come nigh unto him because of the multitude of people." In Bible days, they had a set of steps that went right up the side of the house to the roof of the house in Bible days. So they went up to the roof and they started pulling the tiles off of the roof, tearing a hole in the roof. So I can see Jesus in the living room teaching. You know, and suddenly there's bits of drywall and 2x4 hitting him on the head. He gets that same smile. Yep. Someone really wants to touch me today. You know? So he stands back, the hole gets bigger and bigger. "Who's going to pay for the roof, Lord?" "No, you know, but They dropped this man down, born of the four. And Jesus said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Amen. And the religious leaders in that day said, ha, who can forgive sins but God? But Jesus said, what is it more difficult to do, forgive sins or say unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? But to let you know who is in your presence, I say unto thee, take up thy bed and walk, and your sins be forgiven you. And the man picked up his bed and he walked out of that house healed and forgiven. But see, the Lord allowed someone to tear the tiles off the roof. Folks, and this is the holy violence, folks, that is put upon our corrupt nature. Now, I want you to know that there's no bargaining table with God. No sales, no markdowns, no specials. Amen. Now, I remember when I was assisting my dad in Beloit, Wisconsin. There was a man by the name of Paul, a young man by the name of Paul, who now pastors in West Virginia. All right. Honestly, folks, he would come to the altar every service because he needed the Holy Ghost. All right. And he'd always pray on the left-hand side, and he would raise his hands, and he always prayed in groups of threes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Now, if I did that for 3 years and didn't have the Holy Ghost yet, I would do something else. Because what you do, what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always got, I think. All right? And we would pray with us. Come on, Paul, get out of yourself now. Get God conscious. Don't be self-conscious. But one day, you know, but one week my father had an evangelist I recommended him from Bible school. And this evangelist watched Paul, you know, for a few nights praying. And he says, listen, he said, Brother Mackey, you get on one side of Paul, I'll get on the other side. He says, well, listen, Paul, you just keep praying, and we're just going to walk you around the church. Okay? So he was on one side, I was on there, and Paul, his knees were not even bent. They were stiff like 2x4s. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We went around the corner. Jesus, Jesus. Back. Jesus, Jesus. Down the side aisle. Jesus. And by that time, his flesh was broken. I mean, you know, I mean, who cares though? And his legs began to bend. And he began to get some rhythm in his prayer. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And you know what? In just 5 minutes, he was speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of the Lord filled him. Now, I'm not saying you've got to walk around the church to get the Holy Ghost, but I'm here to tell you, everybody, if you pray one way and you never get the Holy Ghost, why don't you try that side of the church? Do something different. Amen, because, folks, amen, because touching Jesus is all that really matters. Yes. Hallelujah. Man, I remember pastoring a church in Albany, Rensselaer, New York, and I was teaching a Bible study to this man. And I was on lesson number 2, I think. And he came to a Wednesday night service, and I was so glad to see this man there. He didn't come to the altar. But I remember going back to pray, you know, to say, man, I'm glad you're in God's house. And I said, let me have a little word of prayer with you before you leave the service. And I admit, I was going to pray one of those fine pastoral prayers. You know, the sentences are nice. You know, you're not offensive. You're just very careful. And I had my hands on his shoulder and I said, oh God, touch this man. Thank you that he's in your house. Lord, lead and guide his life. And I was going to mean it. But to my surprise, folks, suddenly his hands went up. He says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I'm in shock almost. Jesus. And right there, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Folks, and I don't know if he was Methodist or Baptist or whatever. But you know what, folks? Touching Jesus is all that really matters. Amen. And God, let something happen in my own spirit and flesh. God, that it will happen to me. Boy, I was at one church, folks, and it was a large church, and they were kind of cramped in their building. And one man there had been seeking the Holy Ghost for many years. But he never came to the altar when the altar call was given, because he did not want people rubbing his back, yanking his arm, pushing his head, and talking in his ear. So he always waited till everyone was at the altar. Then he came, and he had a little place right up here by the organ. where he would sneak in there and pray so no one would disturb him. So this one night, folks, he waited till everyone came, and now he was coming up to his secret spot, and somebody was already there. But there was one little gap right here. So he tries to sneak in there. Pretty soon people are rubbing his back and raising his hand. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, though. But he said, Brother Mackey, I had to die to myself. I was so self-conscious. I was not God-conscious. Listen, the devil loves to embarrass people, but God will never embarrass you. Folks, when you speak in tongues, when you get his blessing, God will never embarrass you. Never. When I was preaching in Duluth, Minnesota, some years ago for Brother Merrick, it was a Sunday morning service, and a visitor woman came to the altar. First time ever in church, first time ever to the altar. But God was touching her. Folks, she was weeping, and she was crying, and she was trembling, you know, under the power of the Holy Ghost. And I remember, folks, I came to her, and I said, come on, man, let's raise our hands. Let's just yield ourselves to the Holy Ghost. But she went, you could actually feel her resist and stiffen, you know, and refuse to do it. But she prayed, and God really touched her. But I remember shaking hands with her. I said, ma'am, really? I said, God's ready to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And I remember that Sunday night when I opened up the altar, this woman came. Folks, she's coming to the altar, all right? And of course, the altar was only about two stairs high. And there was a chair, and she pulled the chair and kneeled down and put her hands on the chair and prayed. And God filled her with the Holy Ghost. Right there, she began to speak with other tongues. But then she said, you know, Brother Mackey, she said, I have a pacemaker, and I had some other problems with my heart. And the doctor said, if you ever raise your hands, you are going to die. And she said, in church this morning, I was so afraid to raise my hands because I thought I was going to die. But when I came to church tonight, I said, listen, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost, even if I have to die doing it. Do you know why? Because receiving the Holy Ghost is more than anything. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, the kingdom of heaven now allows this. No, the kingdom of heaven allows intense exertion. Really. How many times do we talk about the woman with the issue of blood? Sick for years. All the money she had spent on doctors. So now she comes and she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. I'll be made whole. So she comes, and I believe she just brushed the garment. She didn't, you know, she didn't yank on it or pull on it, because the bottom of the garment was this, were these little braid work. Maybe she just brushed one of the braids. And Jesus said, who touched me? Amen. In one translation, the Bible says, Peter said, but Lord, we are surrounded by people. Everybody's touching you. But Jesus said, yes, but somebody touched me by faith, because I felt virtue flow out of me. And he's clear away the crowd, and here's this woman now healed of the issue of blood that she had. Now, what about all the other throng, all the other people? Didn't anyone else touch God that day, receive anything from him? Perhaps they did, but the Bible doesn't record it, because sometimes, many times in church, we have more spectators than participators. Individuals that just sit back and watch, and other people that really, really participate. And that is why, you know, I'm so glad to be in a church that has Sunday morning and Sunday night. You know, we have Wednesday night, we have special services. But I have noticed sometimes in my travels as an evangelist, sometimes if God touches somebody on Sunday morning, they are contentious to come to church Sunday night and be a spectator and not a participator. All right. But so anyway, so because sometimes we have mechanical worship. I've seen it. You know, it's kind of, you know, at 5 p.m., they put the key in the back. Okay, church time. Wind us up. Come to church. Sit on the third pew, left-hand side. I don't know your name, but I know when you're here. All right. Stand up, yes. Sit down, yes. Raise your hands, yes. Listen, sometimes I'm tempted to have everyone in the church change sides. How am I going to worship over here? Who cares, you know what I'm saying? But see, every time we come to church, we got to stick out our spiritual antenna. That's why we sing fast songs, slow songs, raise our hands, wait on God, because we have our spiritual antenna. God, because touching Jesus is all that really matters. And I just don't want to be a spectator. I want to be a participator. Amen. Why can two people be sitting in the same pew, singing the same songs, hearing the same message, and one is touched and one is not touched, when God is no respecter of persons? But when there's an attitude that says, I want to touch God, amen, that's what makes the difference, whether God touches you or not. Because sometimes we say, you know what? Well, if God doesn't touch me tonight, he'll touch me Wednesday night, or he'll touch me next Sunday night. But know what God says? Show me you love me. Chase me a little bit. You know, but God, you didn't touch me on the first song or the second song. But God says, come on, how much do you love me? Chase me a little bit. Folks, I chased Sister Mackie for 2.5 years. Yeah. Flowers, more flowers, cards, more cards. I love you, Judith. God says, come on, show me you love me. People that come to the altar and says, God, all right, you got 10 minutes to give me the Holy Ghost. 10 minutes. All right, you had your chance, God. Forget it. No. Folks, that's not the attitude. It's a privilege to come to God's house. It's a privilege to come to the altar. It's a privilege to cry out all the more and climb a sycamore tree. Hallelujah. It's kind of like a man who took the sea voyage, took all of his money to buy the ticket. So he filled one suitcase with cheese and crackers because he wasn't going to have any money to eat on the ship. All right? So for breakfast, he had cheese and crackers. For lunch, he had crackers and cheese. For supper, he had double crackers and single cheese. For a midnight snack, he had double cheese and single cracker. For the next morning, he had some more cheese and crackers, lunch crackers and cheese and crackers. The third day, crackers and cheese. He had nightmares of big rats coming and stealing all of his cheese. He got so sick of cheese and crackers and crackers and cheese. And when he was leaving the ship, he just happened to look at the fine print on his ticket. All meals included. With price of this ticket. He could have been eating at the smorgasbord. He could have been having the breakfast buffet. Folks, he could have been having it all. Do you understand when you repent and baptize and fill with the Holy Ghost? And when all the meals are included with the price of this ticket. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. And I commend this church and their worship, amen, and their response to God. But there are others that just might get used to this, and we just know how we do it, and the order and the pattern. But I want you to know, folks, amen, just don't think of it as cheese and crackers and cheese and doing the same thing, because all meals are included with the price of this ticket. Hallelujah! God wants to touch you and strengthen you and fill you, amen, again and again and again. Hallelujah! If you're here tonight and it's been a long time since you spoke in tongues, amen, tongues are included with the price of this ticket. If you're here tonight and you need strength, strength is included with the price of this ticket. Hallelujah. If you need victory, victory is included with the price of this ticket. Hallelujah. But I want it. Man, we talk about the prodigal son. You know, and we put a lot of eyes on him. Father, give me my portion of my inheritance. He went and wasted it in a riotous living. And pretty soon he was just in a swine pen, living with the pigs. If he wanted anything to eat, he would chew on the same husks of corn that the pigs chewed on. And one day he came to himself and says, man, it's better in my father's house than here. I'm just going to go home and not even be a son. I'll just be a servant, but it's better than in the swine pen. And the father saw him a long way off. I love it when backsliders come back to God, because God sees him a long way off. Hallelujah. And the father ran to meet him. The father didn't stand and say, well, did you learn your lesson, son? No, the father ran, put the best robe on his shoulders, put a ring on his finger. He said, kill the fatted calf. My son who was dead is now alive. All right. So here's the elder brother. Working in the field, sweating. He he smells the beef brisket, and man, you know, and he hears all the music, and he comes in and says, "What? That's my brother, that old backslider." And man, everyone's hugging him and patting him on the back, and you know, he's got a smile on his face, and you know, and the elder brother just comes in disgruntled and upset, and the father says, "What's wrong, son? Your brother who was away from home has now come back home." But he said, "Dad," he said, "I've never wasted your substance on righteous living. God, Father, I've never left. Lord, I've worked in your fields all the time. I've been faithful right here, and you've never given me the fatted calf." And the father said, "Yeah, but all that I have is yours." And I've seen the spirit of the elder brother sometimes. But Lord, I never backslid. Lord, I mean, I never went back on the road. Lord, I've paid my tithes. I've been to prayer meeting. And folks, I remember being at one service and I saw a backslider literally crawl up the aisle on her hands and knees saying, "Jesus, have mercy. Jesus, have mercy." Amen. And God renewed her and filled her with the Holy Ghost. And I could see some of the people. I heard one brother say, "Do you know what kind of life she has been living?" But do you know what the attitude was? "Amen, Lord, you've never touched me like that. But I want you to know God wants to touch you like that." Amen. But there's got to be an attitude that I need God and I want God at any price. Hallelujah. I remember preaching at a large church, well over 1,000 people, and I was speaking a rally. And there was another young man, folks, who had been away from, not a young man, actually he was about 20, folks, who had been away from God for so long. And I mean, he came, and I know some people came and prayed their 4 minutes and 13 seconds and left. But this man was just seeking God. "Lord, I need the renewing. God, forgive me." And he was just seeking God with everything. He was climbing the sycamore tree. Folks, he was crying out all the more, and the power of God hit him. And folks, and he went down on his back, and he was speaking with other tongues. And folks, and it was now an hour. And I mean, people were leaving. The altar was almost empty. Except for a few people, and this young man still laid on his back speaking with other tongues. All right, and the pastor's wife was coming down from the platform from the music. And I remember, you know, I was with the pastor's wife walking by this young man, and the pastor's wife started crying. And she said, "Brother Mackey, it's been so long since the Lord touched me like that." And ever since then, I said, "I wonder how many people there are, amen, in congregations that it's been so long since the Lord touched me like that." Sometimes I feel sorry for our musicians and our praise singers that have to be up here and minister instead of being themselves able to seek the Lord when they have needs in their own heart and life and they want something from God, but they're up here to minister. And they're saying, "Lord, I want to be down there praying. It's been so long since the Lord touched me like that." And if you're here tonight and it's been a long time since the Lord has touched you like that, if you're here tonight and you're tired of the cheese and crackers, if you're here tonight and you're tired of just going through the motions, if we could come to this altar like an army taking a city and a crowd breaking the door down, you can have something from God. Oh, let's all stand tonight and let's raise our hands and talk to God for a moment. Hallelujah. 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 Thank God for these coming to the altar. Hallelujah. As an army taking the city. God, as a crowd of people breaking the door down. God, as I need the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God, I need victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Dear Jesus. Yeah, Lord, I'll climb the tree. God, I'll cry out all the more. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, Jesus will stand still for somebody tonight. Jesus will stand under your tree. Hallelujah. Oh, God, for your glory. God, we need your touch. God, something that comes in response. God, to the cry of the heart.
God, the desire of the soul. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.